This is the Everything EV Podcast by EV Powered.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Everything EV Podcast, a weekly show that brings you the latest news, views and opinions from every corner of the EV industry. I'm your host, Charlie Atkinson, and in these episodes we'll be discussing everything to do with electric travel, so whether it be cars, bikes, boats or even planes, we'll have it covered. We'll also be speaking to people from within the industry to get their views on the EV space, as well as other features such as electric car reviews, electric motorsport coverage, and much, much more along the way. This podcast is available on all streaming platforms, so be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to receive every single episode as soon as it's released. And please do go back and check out all our other episodes too. This week, we're joined by Oliver Rowland, the British driver making his return to the Nissan Formula E team. After a couple of seasons away at Mahindra, Ollie is back for season 10, and in this interview, he'll discuss how the move came about, his hopes for the new season, his relationship with teammate Sascha Finisterre, and how he has seen Formula E grow over his five seasons. So, Ollie, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for taking the time to speak with us today. Now, obviously, you've just re-signed for Nissan after a couple of years away with Mahindra. So I just wanted to get an idea of how this move came about, when you first heard about it, and just how the whole move came to be, really.
Well, ever since I'd obviously left Nissan in season 7, I'd always stayed in contact and in good communication with Tommaso, Dorian, most of the members within the team. So I'd always kind of kept a good relationship, and clearly things had been a little bit tough for me since I'd left. So I think in the beginning you almost like joke a little bit about it, and it's a little bit of fun saying, oh, you know, it would be nice to come back, and then, you know, talks start to happen and things like that. But it was just clear for me, like, I needed a reset at the point I was in my career. And I think on the trajectory that Nissan was on, it was obviously quite a good place to be. You know, they had a great season last year, and I needed that reset for me, and also a bit of a homecoming as well, I guess.
Yeah, you just touched on your time at Mahindra there, and obviously, as you said, it wasn't the best couple of years for you or the team, but how do you reflect on your time? I mean, what are some of the things you learned while you were over at Mahindra, and how do you reflect on those couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot. I think it was the first time that I'd kind of been in the team where I was the lead driver. So, you know, I was pushing the development, all that sort of stuff. And I think I understood quite a lot in terms of how to push people, how not to push people, because I probably made mistakes on that side. Of course, it was difficult in terms of results. It doesn't do the best for your motivation, but I think it also makes you appreciate what you had before. And I think... obviously on track it wasn't the best 2 years, there's no hiding away from that, but I think I learned a lot, and it's put me in a good place for the future as well.
Yeah, and so now you're in the process of getting ready for next season, for season 10, and obviously I don't know how long you've been in the Nissan ecosystem for, if you like, but how are things going? We saw Sascha there a couple of minutes ago, just before the start of the interview. How's your relationship with him? Are you two getting on okay?
No, I don't really like him, actually. It's just, yeah, no, joking. Yeah, and I think I my first days here were just before the Rome Ypres, but obviously the race team were in Rome at that point, so I met a few of the guys here. Then obviously everybody's pretty tired, and it's a pretty intense season, so the month after the last race, a lot of people go on holiday and do other things, but then pretty much since that month finished, we've been doing some sessions here, spending a bit of time together, having fun. He seems all right so far, so let's just see how it goes.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a bit more in depth about how you sort of prepare for a Formula E season. I know it's a little bit weird this year because there's quite a big gap between testing and then when the season starts, but how do you sort of how do you go about preparing for a new season, especially when you said that the seasons are quite long and they're sort of relentless as well? So how do you how important is that preparation period, and also what are the steps that get you ready to go for the first race weekend?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the situation. I think, you know, I think as a second year with the team, you might look at what you could have done better the year before and where you need to improve from a global perspective. when you're new or coming back to a team with some new things to pick up, you know, the first thing to do is to be comfortable around the people, understand the systems, the car and the software and all that sort of stuff, and then start to get into your pre-season preparation, really. I think you kind of give items towards the end of the season where you need to improve, and they start coming now and we start trying them, analyzing them, feeding back on them, and then hopefully there is an improvement for the start of the season. But yeah, it's just about constant development, right? Understanding where you're weak and trying to improve that.
Yeah, and has much changed on the Nissan front since you've been away? Obviously, since you've been away, Gen 3's come in. So how much has the change? Have you been able to pick up where you left off, or have you almost got to start again?
No, actually, it's. I mean, I would not want to be a driver. Obviously, I came in season 5. Things were a bit complicated, but I wouldn't want to be someone completely brand new coming in to understand all these names of different systems and trying to understand how the steering wheel works. Of course, things have moved on since I was here in terms of new elements to do with Gen 3 or new ideas in terms of performance. But it was actually quite surprising. I picked up quite quickly the steering wheel, for example, where all the rotary switches are. A lot of the names were similar to before, so that was pretty easy. And mainly it's just like the new people that are here. There's a handful of people that were here when I was before, but there are a lot of new people as well, and it's sort of getting to know them, building relationships, and also, you know, trying to push them in a good direction as well.
Yeah, you mentioned there that you wouldn't want to be a new driver coming into Formula E, and I was with Nissan at the London E-Prix at the end of last season, and it was actually Maria who was explaining just how difficult it is to be a Formula E driver. So can you just give us a bit of an idea of just how much you have to consider being behind the wheel of a Formula E car, and also the prep work that goes into it? Because it sounds like unlike any other motorsport that exists.
Yeah, I think what's different is you sort of grow up during your junior career just trying to optimize every thousandth and be the fastest you possibly can at all times. I mean, when you get into F3 and F2, you have the management side of things on the tires and a little bit of strategy in F2. But when you arrive in Formula E, like, the driving has to come like a second nature almost. So your speed and your rhythm comes without thinking. And then, especially in the races, you have just everything else to think about, you know, where you are, what's going on with the strategy of the race, the tires, the regeneration, the battery temperature. There's, you know, the way to manage the race in terms of energy. There's so many different things that, like, you almost need as much capacity outside or inside your brain at that point as possible to optimize your race and your performance.
Yeah. And your first full season in Formula E was season 5, I think you said. So over that year, over your sort of Formula E career, how have you changed as a driver, having to consider all of that? And then, like you said, racing becomes almost sort of a second nature, when before it's just sort of go as fast as you can. So how have you sort of changed as a driver over that period?
A lot. I mean, there's nothing better than time and experience, right? That automatically just improves and helps you deal with all the things that I was talking about a minute ago. But when I arrived, I had speed. You know, I think I did 4 or 5 pole positions in the first season. Like, that was never a problem. The race management was okay sometimes, but my way to develop and push the team on items and stuff like that, I had no idea about that. And I learned quite a lot from Seb on, you know, how he was doing that, how he was sort of motivating the team, pushing all the time. And that was something that I probably needed to improve. Also, there's the way you build up to these weekends. You know, in my first season, I would quite often have a really good weekend or a really bad one, never kind of in the middle. And you kind of learn over your first seasons that sometimes you need to almost build the confidence without trying to break it straight away, if that makes sense. So there's a lot of small details, and then on the racing, you know, just, you know, understanding that sometimes you have to be patient, and, you know, just a basic experience really that you kind of learn over throughout the years.
I appreciate this might be a bit of a difficult question to answer if Sasha is listening in on this conversation, but obviously it was his first full season in Formula E last year, and as you said, there's no substitute for time and experience. So considering you've been in the series now for 5 years, what's your assessment of Sasha as a driver, and how do you think you two are going to work together this year?
I think he obviously came into the championship and demonstrated straight away the speed, you know, doing a pole position, I think, at the 5th race, and clearly showing great speed straight away, which is probably the most important thing of the whole attributes, right? And I think his season was very much like a rookie season for anybody, right? Where, you know, some races were very good, some races maybe not, and then, you know, areas to improve, particularly in the race management and stuff like that. I think, you know, he's kind of aware of that. It's something that he's been working on. But as for his speed, and which is, like I said, is the most important, that was very impressive. And, you know, all the other things will come without that, with that, sorry, throughout the following years of his Formula E career. So I think he's in a good place, just needs to build on those steps. And, you know, anything that I or we can do as a team to help that, because we need two cars at the front, is what we'll do to get him up there.
And just looking ahead to next season, what are the goals for Nissan as a team? Obviously, you're going to want to win every race and come top of the pile. But more realistically, what are those goals for Nissan and for you individually as well?
You would have to ask Nissan on that in terms of what their targets are. I think for me, it's to get up to speed as quickly as possible, to perform at a high level as soon as possible throughout the season. Don't really necessarily want to pin too much hopes on positions, but, you know, based on where they were in the second half of last season, if we can maintain the end of the season performances, I think that would be good. If we can steal a win and some podiums, I think that's also positive. But from my side, operationally, if we can optimize every small detail and then make a step on hardware and homologation for season 11, that has to be the global target. I think, you know, if we can make everything perfect with something that's maybe not quite perfect underneath us, when we get that package, hopefully we'll be unstoppable then. So that's kind of the detailed target. But yeah, I mean, if we can maybe doing some poles, some podiums, take a win, I think that would be nice. And then obviously the team championship follows after that, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I just wanted to come back onto Gen 3 as well, because I just wanted to ask how big an adjustment that was for you as drivers, because it was, like you said, a completely new system and you've had one season to get used to it already. But how big was that adjustment to Gen 3 last year? Was it relatively easy, or did you have to sort of rip up the rule book and completely learn from scratch with everything?
Well, it's a good question, actually, because in the beginning, I thought it was relatively easy. Like, the in theory, the race optimization of energy management became a bit easier with, you know, having front and rear regen and not having to mix brakes and paddles and all this sort of stuff like we were doing in Gen 2. But it then became apparent that the races became quite a lot more complex in terms of strategy. How to manage that was not straightforward, and it pretty much changed every race. And I think it was dictated by people who were the strongest in the races. They could kind of pick and choose which strategy they took. For me, it took a bit of time to get used to the tires. In certain ways, I couldn't drive maybe as I wanted to drive more with Gen 2. So it took a few races to kind of get into the rhythm with that side of things. But I think it poses new challenges, but it's still Formula E and it's still extremely difficult to perform at a high level, and you have many good drivers as well. So it's pretty tough.
Yeah. And just lastly, obviously you've been in Formula E now for five seasons, as we said. How have you seen the series grow over those years? Because obviously it's getting to a point now where I've saw a press release a couple of weeks ago that it was Formula E's biggest season with more people watching it than ever before. So how have you noticed that change and that growth in the series?
Well, when I joined, it was actually probably at the peak, not the peak, but it had just increased significantly. You know, the new car that looked good, there was quite a lot of interest given its rates of improvement, and COVID kind of stunted that quite a lot. It was noticeable after COVID that, you know, the popularity, the events weren't quite as busy, and Gen 3 was going to be very important for us. You know, Gen 3 was a year delayed. So that was kind of the lull that we're in. I think from my personal perspective, last season, the events, the crowds, the interest in the actual event there was pretty good. Like, there was always lots of people, lots of energy, lots of buzz. It was a good championship to be at the races. Clearly, the statistics that we saw the other week shows that people are tune in and watching Formula E, which is great. I think we could probably improve the TV side a little bit, and where to watch it, you know, exactly where it's on, and have something a little bit more solid and robust on that side. But yeah, clearly it's took a big step over the last 12 months. So I would describe it as like season five was a like a mountain where we went up and then down and then leveled off for a bit, and then now we've taken a new rise, which is good, and it's exactly what we needed, to be honest. So hopefully we can maintain that, keep putting on a good show, and increasing that fan base.
That's all for this episode. Many thanks for listening, and if you liked it, then please do check out all our other episodes and be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to make sure you get every single episode as soon as it's released. For daily news coverage, features and much more, you can also head over to evpowered.co.uk. Thanks once again for listening, and we'll see you on the very next episode of the Everything EV podcast.